Hey, everybody. It's the 16th of June, 2021. My name's 21. Hear my voice crack? Ha! My name's Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio, which is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ACE-ed.org, ACE-ed.org over on the World Wide Web. Check it out, our magazine. Equity and Access, pre-K-12 is over there. It's an online journal, a huge issue, just published last week May, June, and I'm telling you, it's excellent. Please check it out. We're the only ones that cover equity and access full-time, and you'll see that when you go over to ace-ed.org. All of our podcasts are also archived over there, just like this one will be, plus all kinds of other information. It's good, ace-ed.org. We invite you to go over. Join with us for equity and access, etc. Got a show for you today with my good friends from Fielding International, the architectural firm that deals in education. And it's going on here. Let's see what I got to get everybody on. I think we're on. Yeah, okay, very good. Let me ask you, Danielle, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello, Danielle, call me Larry. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Ellen, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Ellen. How are you? And our very special guest, Maddie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Maddie. You can call me Larry, too. Now let me introduce everybody. Okay? Our very special guest is I'm not sure what this means, rising senior, but I assume you're a senior, right?
Yes, I am.
I don't know if you tell me what rising is in a minute. At the Magnificat High School in Rocky River, Ohio, which is an all-girls Catholic college prep school. We're going to learn all about it today. Hi, Maddie. Welcome to the show. Maddie?
Oh, sorry. Hi.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. And Maddie, before I go on and introduce everybody else, what is a rising senior? What's that term mean?
That just means I'll be a senior in the fall.
So you were a junior. Now you're going to be a senior.
Yes.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you're a senior. Congratulations. You eliminate the word rising. You're a senior. Congratulations. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay? You worked hard to get to that point. You don't need a special title in front of it. Okay? As far as I'm concerned. Okay? Ellen, you're an architect. No, you're a senior designer over at Fielding International, right?
I am an architect by training.
I thought you were an architect. Yeah, you're an architect.
I am.
Cool, very cool. How long have you been with Fielding, my good friends?
I just finished my sixth year with the office. Oh. So I've been around a little bit.
Wow, that's great. And where are you headquartered?
Our headquarters is actually in Minneapolis, though
yep.
Danielle and I work out of the Ferndale office in Michigan.
I've been to Ferndale. Okay, very good. Now I got it, okay? And Danielle, okay, are you an architect as well? It says associate designer. Danielle Weitzman?
I am an architectural designer, so working towards the architecture licensure.
Cool, very cool. Okay, that takes a long time, for goodness sakes. Ellen, I'll go back to you. Tell us about Fielding, who I work with here all the time.
Absolutely.
And you guys advertise with us, write for us in our magazine. I don't know whether you've ever seen what you do, but you young ladies would enjoy going over to ace-ed.org and seeing all the stuff we do together in our magazine. Okay, but tell us about Fielding. Ellen.
Yeah, I'm excited to look through there. I know we work a lot with Jill and Jay, who are also on the show a lot. But Fielding International, we work with educators all over the world, all over the country, to really envision what their school could be through design, working with their curriculum and what teachers really want in their space, and finding ways from an architectural standpoint to make solutions that students and teachers can really create new ways of learning for 21st century, for equity, just for overall wellness for school buildings.
Yeah, and you guys do design great stuff, and I've had a lot of the educators who work with you, okay, and I've had a lot of your folks on, and I'll tell you, everything you do is pretty cool, okay? And I want to ask this, okay, Maddie, are you there? Maddie?
Yes, I'm here.
I just want to get this question out of the way, because now that you're a senior, Okay, every adult wants to ask you this, so I just want you to say this. We're talking to a big audience. You never have to answer it again as long as you live, okay?
Okay.
Ready? You ready? Okay,
yes,
just,
I'm ready.
You carry a tape of this with you, so when any of your aunts and uncles or whoever asks you, you'll be able to just play this, okay? And the question is, where are you going to go to college next year, and what do you want to do when you get out? There you go. Real quick, go.
I have no idea.
Excellent answer, Maddie. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is perfect. Okay? And to be perfectly honest, at your age, you should have no idea. Because as you get to be an adult, you still have no idea. So just do the best you can. Okay?
Thank you.
And really, seriously, just play that for everybody. And that was an excellent answer. I got to tell you something. But I do know that next week, okay, and I think the three of you, if I'm reading this correctly, and another young lady from the school named Sully, okay, you're all going to be speaking at the National Coalition of Girls Schools Conference, which is next week. Danielle, is that accurate?
Yes, it is. We are going to be presenting on the new Magnificat STEM Center that just opened this past fall.
Cool, and that's what we're going to talk about today, I hope?
Yes.
Excellent. This is great. And it's Magnificat, not Magnificat, which I've been mispronouncing. Magnificat?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I got to go back to Maddie. Maddie, what is Magnificat? What does that mean? Do you have any idea, Maddie?
What does Magnificat mean?
Yeah, the word.
I'm not exactly sure what it means, but it kind of relates to Mary and, like, how she was open to God's will and she was accepting when God called her to do things.
Well, that's a very good answer. Thank you. Okay, because I did not know what it meant. Okay, and that's a great answer. I appreciate that. Okay, thank you very much. All right, now I want to hear this. I'm going to go over to Ellen. Ellen, tell us about the STEM Center at Magnificat, and you call this a community of belonging, all right? And I looked at the school website. It looks like a really nice, happy school with intelligent young ladies going there, okay, and with great futures ahead of them. All right, a community of belonging is what's in your mind, okay, as a female architect creating a STEM center. Talk about all this. What have you been doing over there at Magnificat?
Absolutely. So we worked with Magnificat to create this community of belonging, and we saw it through the eyes of a STEM center. So often we create these learning environments where people can feel closer to each other, whether it's rearranging the space just for visual access, for community access, for student access to teachers. And it really could be through any means of learning at the school. So Magnificat chose through a STEM environment. They had some science rooms, but they really felt like students could come together and teachers could come together to really embrace the future of learning. A lot of times students, especially girls, don't have access to STEM environments and traditional school settings.
Mm-hmm.
So why not
You're
elevate
right.
coming together and girls really feeling empowered through the STEM environment?
When they approach you and you talk to them, this is a great conversation. When you talk to the school talks to you about that. And this is important. How do you feel about that? Because giving young ladies, okay, the opportunity to really enjoy and develop themselves in the STEM subjects, to me, is extremely important because we're very short in the career field of females in STEM. We're shorter than we should be. I think it's like 30%, and there's no reason in the world why it shouldn't be 50%. Okay, something is going on. So to create a STEM community of belonging makes sense. But as you develop that, you and Danielle, okay, and again, women yourselves, okay, what just goes through your head? I'm curious about that. That's at school. Ellen, then I want to hear from Danielle. Go for it, Ellen.
So originally,
yeah.
we met with the school, and I'll let Danielle touch on this a little bit too, but
okay.
Really working with them to research what it means to have this community and
yeah.
really feel that sense of belonging through research. And Danielle was on the ground doing a lot of that work, so I'll pass it over to
oh,
her
please,
to talk a little bit about that process.
Ms. Weitzman?
Yeah, thank you, Ellen. Yeah, so one interesting thing with this project was before we even thought about the design, we spent around 6 months working with faculty, with alumni, with students on an R&D project, so research envisioning. What does it mean to design an environment that's specifically for women? And it's not just about necessarily going off into STEM. It's about developing all those key skills that you learn in a STEM environment, about collaboration, about iteration, about how do you kind of problem solve. And these are skills that are useful beyond just working in science or working in technology. And so how do we create an environment? And then also part of that was, why is this so important for women? How are we giving these students an environment where they can fail and it's okay, where they can
oh, yeah.
try new things and not be worried about impressing somebody or all these other things that go through women's minds? How do you give them a safe space? And then an additional thing was, how do we make sure that women in STEM are on display at all times? How do we as women see ourselves represented in these fields? And so all this research kind of got compiled into some guiding principles that then were the basis for our design when we were thinking about the physical space.
Great answer, Danielle. And I have to ask you this. You are an architect. You are an interior designer, whoever you want to position yourself. You're all those things, okay? You're an associate designer at Fielding, but you get what I mean here. So, Danielle, all of a sudden, you're also in education. You have to put an education cap on your head, and I know that's what Fielding does. How'd you learn to do that, to really learn about education and what it means to be educated and designing learning spaces that make that happen? And that's what you folks do, I'll say it again, all over the world. And I know your company well.
Yeah.
Danielle, get into the education side. Did you expect to be involved in it like you are? It's great stuff.
Yeah, I actually kind of fell into education. I was incredibly passionate about it and almost realized it by accident. A lot of the projects that I did in architecture school ended up being around education, regardless of what the larger project requirement was, and sort of fell in love with it. And I think in tandem with working with the educators on our staff and learning through them and really watching them present and kind of think through how they think about space, which is sometimes different than how we might think about it, but a great way to learn about education, but then also pulling on my own educational experiences. I actually went to an all-girls school in Cleveland, a sister school to Magnificat. So this is actually a dream come true to be able to be designing a project that was meant for an all-girls school, because it's something I'm very passionate about. But I think you can pull on what worked for you when you were in high school. Was it useful to be just lectured at, or did you thrive more in a project-based learning environment like myself? So being able to kind of pull on some of those experiences, but then also just learning from the wonderful educators on our staff that we collaborate with every day.
That is a great answer. That was a lovely answer. So what school did you go to?
I went to Laurel School on the east side of Cleveland.
And Laurel is a sister, kind of a sister academy to Magnificat?
Yeah, there are a bunch of different all-girls schools in the area.
Okay.
We're all kind of one larger community for sure.
So now that you're an adult and doing this in a soccer game, Laurel versus Magnificat, who would you root for?
Laurel, 100%. You got to be loyal.
Loyal to Laurel. I like that. Sell T-shirts. Okay? Loyal to Laurel. I like that. All right. Ellen, same question. You're a young lady in the architecture field, and suddenly you find yourself as an educator. How'd that happen? Ellen.
Great question. Similar to Danielle, in school, I loved education. Not only did I teach at the college level, but a lot of my courses were strictly around just fun and learning environments, how spaces can be catered to ergonomically assist with the schools. And I think a lot of designers are starting to lean towards social change as well. Danielle and I often talk about this in our office, is that we get to design for social impact. It's not just about building a building for the sake of having a beautiful structure. It's really changing the way people occupy space and doing it in a way that can promote and foster, whether it's belonging, wellness, and just overall changing the paradigms of education.
At the same time, being an architect and understanding everything STEM and art-wise that goes into that, it's real. What you Fielding does is amazing, and you two are great examples of what they do. I got to tell you, Ellen and Danielle. So hearing this, Maddie, okay, I have to ask you, you got the new STEM Center. What was it like for you? And again, and don't underemphasize this, you are a young lady, and obviously besides rising to be a senior, okay, you are on the move. You're going to do very well in your life. Okay, what did that STEM Center do as you work there? The design of it, etc. As you hear all this stuff, which is adult, sounds like adult gobbledygook. But you, what you did as a junior working in this place, okay, did make a difference. Talk about that, Maddie, the amazing Maddie,
overall.
Everybody, the amazing Maddie.
overall, I think the new space made it a lot easier to collaborate with other people, because before our science area was kind of just the labs, and then in the hallway there were lockers. There weren't really, like, open spaces to work.
Yeah.
So I think it made it a lot easier for that. And there are also things like there's a study room upstairs, so – and it basically has technology that normally you would only have access to in a normal classroom. But now all students have access to it, and there's not teacher supervision required to use it. And I think that's pretty nice, because it makes it easier to do things that you would only be able to do in a classroom, things like that.
And Maddie, this is key stuff. I mean, did you feel like you were learning better, which I know is a weird question, okay? But with the way it was designed, and I'm being serious here, did you feel like there was a better sense of learning and engagement in whatever your teachers were teaching you with your STEM classes, with your science and technology classes?
I think it did make it easier to learn things, because for one thing, the new labs have tables, so you're more with groups of people rather than just sitting at independent desks. So I think it makes it easier to help each other and, like, work with other people, which I personally really enjoyed.
It's got to be more fun. And I don't know you, obviously, but were you interested in science and STEM prior to that, or did it build your interest in such things?
I was originally interested in science and STEM, but this has definitely solidified my interest, for sure.
Oh, really? That is
yeah.
That is excellent. And I must ask, I'm going to go back, Danielle, okay? And I think this is an important thing. You are an architect, okay? But you don't just draw buildings and hand it off to somebody. You have to understand what actually holds a building up. Okay, I could design a room, but it would fall down in 5 minutes after, because I'm not an architect. Okay, but you two ladies are. Okay, and you have to understand, I'm quite serious now, the science and literally the technology, the engineering, the structure of a room. Okay, and put your world into the world of STEM, if I may ask. I'll ask Ellen on this one. Ellen.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
So the question is for how you see STEM
put your world of architecture, okay, which is an art, okay, but put it into the world of STEM, okay, the science and technology, the engineering part of what you guys do. Can you do that?
Oh, that's a good question, Larry.
Thanks, pal.
We definitely come at it from
I'm going to tell you where I'm going, okay? I see you two, and I'm serious here, as role models, okay? You took your expertise, okay, and you put it into design that works for the science of education, I might add, for the science of learning, which is a science, all right? But it also has to, it literally has to stand up and not leak when it rains, okay? let's be honest, okay? You have to understand that. So as you look at what you did to create a STEM center as architects, and whether you know it or not, you're role models for young ladies like Maddie. What are your thoughts about STEM and architecture? And I know that's a tough question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it's a good
answer
one.
Away.
There's one that specifically with the STEM center that we definitely took into account with the technical aspects of the walls was the acoustics.
Mm-hmm.
Every single building that we work with, acoustics becomes this large technical issue.
Yep.
They're going to go through glass easier than they are through the walls, and really being specific about those zones. But we really wanted learning to be on display. When we were chatting with Maddie and Sully when we went to the school, having access to see what other students are doing was so valuable because you're not just in silo, right? You want to be able to see what your friends are doing, see how it interests you. So really finding that balance of acoustics where things can be shut off if they needed to, but also having these moments of display and connections for visuals was a really large dynamic of finding that balance at Magnificat.
Yeah, it's really cool when you think about it, what you did. Danielle, you want to add anything to that, or should we move on?
Yeah, I think that something that's interesting and was a goal of this project was having more options for interdisciplinary learning, that science is not always or really ever happening in isolation. And so how do you find moments for overlap? And I think architecture is a perfect example of where you get overlap between engineering and technology and understanding the structure. But then you also have almost that STEAM aspect, right, where you bring in the art and the humanities and being able to work with people and collaborate. So I think in having that background and then being able to apply that to how you think about designing a STEM space that's really setting these girls up for the future was very useful.
Yeah, it is pretty damn cool. What do you think of that, Maddie, when you hear something like that? It's a little different than just a regular classroom, isn't it? Maddie?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a little different.
I
think it's cool how it's, like, all updated, too. So it's a lot of new things to try out, which I really like.
Like what? What do you mean?
So the new... There are new smart boards that are in every classroom, too.
Great.
So there are new things to learn about that, which I think is fun. And also the way the new labs are laid out is also a little different than what it was before. So I think that's cool, too.
It is cool. And Maddie, I'll give you a little stuff from the world of education. Remember how teachers more than likely used to stand up at the front of the class, okay, and just lecture? Okay, that's the way it was when I was in school, all right? And we call that, okay, somebody being, quote, the sage on the stage, okay? Somebody wise just throwing information out there and no interaction with the students. And what education, Maddie, is trying to do is create teachers being, I'll give you this phrase too, the guide on the side, where the kids actually control their own learning. All right? And these are catchphrases in all through professional education. Every teacher, every superintendent and principal knows those phrases. And nobody wants that sage on the stage anymore. We want the guide on the side. And, Maddie, I want to ask you, as you go into your STEM center, that, again, was designed by these wonderful young ladies, Ellen and Danielle, all right, when you go into that STEM center, what's the interaction like with your teacher or teachers, however that worked? Was it different in this center, the way it was designed, et cetera? Maddie?
I think it's a little different than what it was before because now, for one thing, in the classroom specifically, there are the chairs and the tables have wheels on them, so they're movable, which makes it easier to have, like, group discussions or things like that. Like, it's easier to all be together and move around, if that makes sense.
That
and
makes perfect
also,
sense.
And
makes
another
perfect
thing is now that in the new science center, the science teacher's office, like, all of their desks are in the one office, which makes it easier to find them and ask them for help. And for me specifically, last year I took 2 science courses, so if I needed help from both of my science teachers, they were most likely in the same spot, which made it really efficient too.
Oh, that's good. You're going places, Matt. Are you running for office next year? Going to be president of the senior class? Run for Maddie for president. Okay? You're very articulate. And speaking of being articulate, I'll ask you, I'll stay with me, Maddie, and then we'll pass it. You can pass it over to Ellen and Danielle. You're going to be speaking next week, which has got to be pretty cool for you. The National Coalition of Girls Schools Conferences. Is it going to be on Zoom, or are you traveling somewhere, Maddie?
It's going to be on a Zoom meeting.
Cool. So you'll be at school, I guess, or somewhere, and we'll do a Zoom,
yes.
Right? Okay, cool.
Yes.
And are you excited?
Yes, I am excited.
Good. Well, just remember, when people ask you questions, you take the easy ones and give Sully the hard ones. Okay? So I just
sounds
word
good.
Of it. I'll do that now. Watch, okay? Who's smarter? Maddie, do you think who's smarter, Ellen or Danielle? Which one should I give the tough questions to?
I think they're both equally smart.
Equally, okay, good
well
answer.
Well said, Maddie.
Very good answer.
Thanks, Maddie.
Yeah, that's right. Danielle, what is the subject? How are you positioning all this for the National Coalition of Girls Schools? And by the way, I find it interesting that you are positioning this at a conference of girls schools, which means that's the gender question obviously is coming up with this, which is good, okay, particularly young ladies in STEM. Danielle, what are you going to be talking about at the conference?
Yeah, so the theme of the conference this year is communities of belonging. So we're positioning this redesign of the new STEM space and how we were able to not just work with the faculty and work with the students to create this new community space to empower women in STEM, to make it easier for girls to build these really key skills, and just to have a place where, with the new design, there are now learning commons spaces and small group rooms and all these other areas where girls can be outside of class. So how do you create different spaces within your school that create different communities of belonging?
It's cool. And so, Ellen, in the design structure, and again, you had gender in mind here. Obviously, it's an all-girls school, okay? What specifically helps, I don't want to say this, is positioned to help young women as you design this? And I think we've said that, but I just want to hear it articulated again, okay? Because we want, as I say at the beginning, and this is a common lament, we want more women in STEM, okay? We need their expertise and we need their common sense, I might add. Ellen,
mm-hmm.
what, as you designed it, and again, I know you were thinking gender to a certain degree. How did that come out in the design? Because you're going to be talking
right,
about that
that's
next
a good
week.
Question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of it was from what Danielle was talking about with that research at the beginning. How do we find these little moments where it's really about the girls? And while these environments really do work around the world, it's not just for girls, finding little moments, whether it's the color or the seating, often
that's
girls like to sit together. Like, are there moments where girls can come together, like Maddie was saying, in small groups? And so some of the furniture selections really make a difference. The colors can make a difference. But a lot of it's just making that community of environments where people feel like they belong and having their voices heard. So like Danielle was saying, we had 6 months of research and visioning with the team to really make it feel like it was their space. It wasn't us as Fielding International coming in and saying, hey, this is what you need. It's, hey, we want to hear you. We want to be active listeners and really cater to what your environment needs, not only as an all-girls school, but also, as Maddie was saying, it's a Catholic school as well. So there really
point.
Are some little nuances to that as well.
Well, can you go into that for 1 second? Because I would not know what they would be. Can you help me with that? I'm serious.
Yeah. A lot of it was around these guiding principles, as Danielle was saying. And she was a big part of that production. So I'm going to pass it over to Danielle to talk a little bit more about those guiding principles.
Danielle, talk about that. Okay, just the again, you're preparing a school in a Catholic environment. Okay, so talk about that. How does that fit into your design? It's a great question. Thank you, Ellen. Danielle.
Yeah, thank you. So one of our main guiding principles was actually the ethical evaluation of scientific investigations and applications. So how are we thinking ethically about science? How are we thinking more about why are we doing some certain advancements? How are we doing certain advancements? Really making sure that you're thinking holistically and questioning things and not just kind of taking new innovations for granted, but really asking, okay, what good is this putting back out into the world? I think that was the main guiding principle that we had that was kind of part of that the Catholic school mission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. And, you know, as I must ask Maddie, as you hear all this, you know, you see the end result and you work and enjoy the end result. Hopefully you're learning it as well. Did you think all of this kind of thought went into it? Do you get a sense of that?
I thought it would take a lot of, like, hard work and preparation, but hearing about all of the preparation they actually did, like, they did a lot of work.
Yeah, they did.
For sure.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
They did, and it's amazing. We all see the end result, okay? But, man, what goes into it is just incredible. I'm telling you, you ladies designed something really good, and I know Magnificat is going to be showing this off for a long time to come. I only add, when Fielding designs something, they design, I know this, for the future. It's not just for now. Believe me, as things change, that STEM Center can change along with it. So let me thank you all. I want you to all have fun at your presentation last week. Maddie, best of luck to you, okay?
Thank you.
You're going places, kiddo. Okay, and I'll vote for you for president of class, okay? Done deal. Maddie for president. In fact, you said it a few minutes ago, when you become world famous and want to have your own TV show, it'll be like Chatting with Maddie. That's going to be the name of it, Chatting with Maddie. Okay? Just copyright and go with it, okay? You're already world famous. Ellen and Danielle, thanks a million. I appreciate the hard work, not only that you did for the STEM Center, but coming on the show today. Thank you. Thank you to the three of you, okay? I really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Larry.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care, everybody. And are you? By the way, Maddie, are you done school now?
Yes, I'm on summer vacation now. So.
Okay, so you
but
are
she's
officially
at school right now.
You are officially a senior now. Go for it.
Yes.
Okay. You are a senior. All right. Take care. Have a great summer, everybody. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks, Larry. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Are they great or what? Okay. Fielding International. Okay. Okay. Fielding International. Just Google it, Fielding International. When they design a learning environment, okay, they take all this into consideration. We do a lot of work with them in our magazine. That's online at ace-ed.org. And I'll tell you that when you talk about it, we see the end result, but man, what goes into it is just incredible. And hopefully kids like Maddie and all the other kids at Magnificat plus everywhere else they work, all over the world, okay? Okay, get a lot out of it for a long time to come. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. So I thank everybody for being here, and I'll talk to you later. Everybody take care of yourselves. We got more shows tomorrow on Thursday. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio.